At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
A warm up of the low. Welcome to Lovey Las Vegas for Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Oops Pierce, and now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast, and we've got a great podcast for you. Is in segment number two, we're going to be joined by Blake Lovell. He does great work over at Blue Ribbon Yearbook, along with the SEC 14, better known as the Southeastern 14, as we're going to take a look at just the landscape in general of the SEC and a pair of teams in Auburn and South Carolina that I am very fascinated by for the upcoming season. We also did see a little bit of news in terms of Auburn's Alan Flanagan, with him being away from the team, and we're going to ask what this means for Auburn and what he could mean for Auburn for the upcoming season as well. So we're going to do that in segment number two, and we're going to keep it to a two-segment podcast. We've got a little bit of a shorter one today because I'm just getting upon the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Tuesday here in segment number one, because player movement is really winding down right now, but we're seeing more guys get injured in practice, have personal leaves, things of this nature. So I'm going to be trying to do this as much as possible to reduce on the amount of commercials and just the actual content that you're able to listen to on this podcast as well. So that is a effort that I'm going to take in order to get us to the upcoming season. Then once we get in season, well, there's going to be a whole lot of picks, a whole lot of analysis. So we're going to have a whole bunch to talk about there. And if you ever do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we are for those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters ZM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way, that is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I mentioned one of the big pieces of news that we got from college basketball on Tuesday, and that is that Alan Flanagan is currently away from the team. And it is interesting to take a look at this ordeal because, well, we're going to have a little bit more in segment number two for one with Blake. But also for Alan Flanagan, he was a very good scorer for the team during the 2020-21 season when he put up right around 14.3 points per contest, and you may recall that last season he missed a little bit more than 10 games with Auburn due to an injury that was ailing him towards the beginning part of the season. Could never really get online. He had 6.5 points, 3.5 rebounds per contest, and shot 20.5% from three after he shot nearly 34% from three-point range the season before, with his assists per game going from nearly 3 per contest 2 seasons ago down to 1.3 last year. He did have some moments towards the back part of the season last year, and you could tell that there was more and more trust in him as the season went along, as it felt like his injury was getting a little bit better, but certainly something to take note of as he's away from personal reasons. This is not an injury or anything like that, but you wish him absolutely nothing but the best, and you hope that it is nothing overly serious and that he's going to be able to fire on all cylinders for Auburn for this upcoming season. We also did see Trevor Neal. He was able to be a solid performer last season for BYU. Started in half the team's games, 6.5 points, about 2 rebounds per contest from three-point range. He shot 36.5% from three. You may recall, 2 seasons ago, shot more like 45.3% from three-point range. He is going to be out for quite some time. I know that someone that I follow very closely in terms of injury news retweeted a video at NCAA Fantasy Hoop that it sounds like he is going to be out about 3 to 4 months with shoulder surgery. So that is something that you do want to be taking a look at, because with Trevor Neal out of the fold, that does hurt this team quite a bit. And I do think that he was going to be a little bit of an X factor for a BYU team that it is a new look for BYU. They're going to be still rather frisky, in my opinion, out in the WCC. But Alex Barcelo, who was able to be Mr. Do-It-All for this team, one of the best three-point shooters we've really seen in college basketball in quite some time, in my opinion, he is now out of eligibility. And then really the biggest piece of news that we saw is that there is an indefinite suspension for Zach Fremantle, who was the top scorer for Xavier two seasons ago. He, much like Alan Flanagan, was one of the biggest offseason injury guys from last year. And you can tell that as the season went along, he was getting more and more comfortable with the team as he was limited to 10.5 points per contest along with 6 rebounds last season and shot 26% from 3 after the 6'9 combo player two seasons ago during the 2020-21 season. Put up 16 points, nearly 9 rebounds, and a block per contest while shooting about 32% from 3-point range. Now, indefinite, as we know, it could have many different definitions. Sometimes an indefinite suspension becomes just being kicked off the team and not playing the entirety of the season. In the case of Grayson Allen a few years ago for tripping guys, it meant a 1-game suspension. So we shall see what happens on the Zach Fremantle front. But joining me to be able to talk about the Fremantle ordeal along with what we're seeing out in Auburn with Alan Flanagan is going to be Blake Lovell of Blue Ribbon Yearbook along Southeastern 14. We're going to shed a little bit more light on what we saw with these two guys on Tuesday. And we're also going to be taking a look at a few interesting SEC teams and a little bit on Texas Tech with the Fardos AMAC injury. So that is coming up on the flip side here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
And we're back to MLB Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Epes Peters, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by this guest, as Blake Lovell does amazing work covering the game of college basketball. And he did a lot of previews over there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook. I know that they, year in and year out, always do a great job of getting you set for the upcoming college basketball season, one of the best publications that you can get to get set for the upcoming college basketball season. Blake also does great work at Southeastern 14 as well, covering college basketball. Does, I know, quite a bit with regards to the college football front as well. And to be able to follow Blake on Twitter, that is at the Blake Lovell. Last name is spelled L-O-V-E-L-L altogether. And Blake, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, always enjoyed, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Always appreciate you, my friend. And the big thing that I saw from Tuesday, we're going to get into the SEC in a few minutes, but that would be that Zach Fremantle, who he was the top scorer for Xavier two seasons ago, was a little bit banged up last year. He is suspended indefinitely for the Xavier team. We shall see how long, and I air quotes here, indefinite is, because in the case of Grayson Allen tripping people a few years ago, that was one game. Meanwhile, for other guys, sometimes it's the entirety of the season. I don't think that it's going to be one day, and I don't think that it's going to be the entirety of the season, but I do think that this is worth noting, because with Xavier, I felt like they had a really good offseason. They bring in Sean Miller, which I know that there's varying opinions of Sean Miller, but when he was at Xavier last, they did nothing but win under him. And on top of that, you bring in Sule Boom, who I felt like was one of the best transfers in all of college basketball. But this is big news, having a guy in Zach Fremantle who is relatively versatile, does a good job down low along with scoring, being suspended indefinitely.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, anytime you have a guy like that that is a key contributor that started so many games throughout his career, Greg, you know, it is something that's significant. And I think, like you mentioned, it's significant if he's out, you know, for multiple games or depending on how kind of that unfolds. So, you know, looking at their schedule, they've got some early season games against Indiana, Florida, games like that in the non-conference. So, again, like you mentioned, it's hard to know exactly what that time frame looks like since we are talking here in September. But it is still, you know, coming off of, I mean, you said it, a very momentous, I think, offseason is a good way to put it in terms of having a new coach now in place. A lot of high expectations, I think, just giving, you know, what he accomplished there, what he's accomplished elsewhere and such. And so I think it's going to be interesting as you look at this entire roster, not just Fremantle, but, you know, everyone here, and see what kind of Xavier will be able to do in season one of 2.0. Sean Miller, I guess.
Yep, and what I felt like was the biggest issue was Xavier as well. And typically, you're able to be like, oh, there's like three or four issues with a team. It's not necessarily one thing, and I hate to be one of those people that talks in extremes, but I do feel like this is one of these rare circumstances when it comes to extremes. Travis Steele was completely holding that program back. They entered into Big East play at the very minimum in three out of their four seasons in the top 25. As a matter of fact, they were looking like a top 25 team in February last year, and Travis Steele had no idea whatsoever how to coach within the Big East. I mean, say what you want about Sean Miller, but I honestly think a scarecrow might have been able to do a better job from February on the last 4 years than Travis Steele, because his team's always cratered under him. And I do think that while it is concerning that you might have Zach Fremantle away from the team, at the very least, you know that the, for lack of a better term, the guys that are on the team are not the team that are running the team right now. Rather, it is the coach that is indeed in charge.
Yeah, I mean, look, Greg, you said the words. You can say what you want about Sean Miller, but he's won everywhere he's been. Obviously, Xavier the first time around, Arizona the second time around. And again, people can point out certain things there. But to my knowledge, Greg, I don't think he's ever had a losing season. And I think that's, you know, something that really stands out when you're trying to, if you're Xavier, get back to where you are, you know, playing for the number one seed line again, which we know is something that they had done in recent seasons before things kind of hit, you know, a few bumps in the road. So, yeah, it is going to be something where I think it's just a fascinating situation where, you know, I mean, we'll be able to learn something this season in terms of, again, knowing what the roster looks like and the capabilities there, but really just kind of the trajectory of this program and getting it back to, you know, where they were competing for a number one seed, perhaps nationally and those kind of things. That's where Xavier wants to be, because as we always say, Greg, once you get that success, you don't want to go backwards, and that kind of sets the new expectation. I think bringing in someone like Sean Miller, some capable parts on this roster without question, that makes it a lot more intriguing.
And with this as well, we do know at the very least who is boss right now, and it is the case in which you do have an actual coach and not just a bunch of guys running around like turkeys with their heads cut off, because I think the worst thing that could have happened for Travis Steele is after he got canned, the team wins the NIT title after they couldn't win a game within the Big East as well. And I do think that that speaks a little bit glowingly to Jonas Hayes as well, who's going to be taking over at Georgia State this season. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Blake Lovell, who does great work over at Blue Ribbon Yearbook, along with SEC 14. And then in SEC news, we did see a player that is going to be away from his team for a little bit. This is not a suspension, though, and that would be Alan Flanagan. He is currently, it seems as though, dealing with some family/personal matters. There's no timetable for his return, according to Tom Green, who has been covering the story. And I do think that this is worth taking note of, because I think that at Auburn, to be able to reach their full potential, they're going to need to rely upon their backcourt a little bit more. No question. Bringing in G&I Broom, he's not going to be quite Walker Kessler. I don't expect 4 blocks per contest like G&I Broom was able to do at Morehead State, but I do think that that's a solid addition, going from having a guy in Walker Kessler that was able to do all that to having now G&I Broom. I think that that's going to be able to pan out. But with Alan Flanagan, I do think that this is very important to note, because I do think that Alan Flanagan could be a very nice X factor for an Auburn team that they're going to be in a little bit of transition for last year. And for Flanagan, took a big step back from what he was able to do during the 2020-21 season to last year, where he was a little bit injury riddled.
Yeah, for sure. I think last season you could tell, you know, going to the season before and then to last season, is just a different player. And I think just the injuries throughout the year, I mean, Bruce Pearl said it was just something where you can't really imagine that he was ever 100% last season. And he was. You think about what he did the season before, you know, one of the most productive guys coming into last season. And I think it's just one of those where, obviously, if you can get him, you know, where he's playing a lot of games, that will make Auburn better, because I think he is still one of the more talented players on that roster. And it's just a matter of, again, can he kind of be able to stay healthy the entire season, because he has been battling those injuries. So I think that is something that we will certainly see play out. And like you said, this is going to be a kind of a different Auburn team that's going to need to prove a few things. They've still got experience in the backcourt, but that was a backcourt that was pretty inconsistent last year. And now, you know, you kind of look at it, and you can look at the big men there with Broom and Traore and those guys, but, you know, replacing two guys in Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith, who were, you know, top whatever draft picks, that's not easy to do. So kind of a different roster for Bruce Pearl, but no doubt that Alan Flanagan will be a big part of their success this season.
I do think so as well. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Blake Lovell of SEC 14. And when it comes to Auburn, where do you sort of have them in the hierarchy of the SEC? Because this is an SEC that is very locked and loaded. And I do feel like in the SEC this season, because we've seen this a lot in the Pac-12, although I will say there's more tough-like teams in the SEC this year rather than the Pac-12. Or in the Pac-12, typically you've got 3 or 4 solid teams, and then from there you've got a massive fall-off. But I do feel like in the SEC, you've got sort of your 7 or 8 teams that you feel very good about, and then the bottom 5/6 are sort of meh right now, and I feel like you've got that in the SEC right now. And I feel like Auburn is sort of in that lower tier of contenders, but I think that is very interesting to take a look at them, just because there is a lot of transition from losing someone like a Jabari Smith along with Walker Kessler from last year.
Yeah, no, I agree, Greg. I mean, I think there's, to me, as I look at these teams right now, I think there's a clear top three, I feel like, in my mind, and that is, in whatever order you want to put them in, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Tennessee. I think those are probably the three teams I would kind of put ahead of everyone else at the moment. Now, of course, that can change depending on, you know, should an Alabama emerge. They've got a lot of pieces there, as we know. I think Auburn's in that mix, probably top five. I think I would probably put them maybe 4th or 5th at the moment. Again, if we go into the season looking at the potential for every team, and if you're trying to be the most optimistic about everyone, I think that's probably the range that Auburn would be in going into the year, because I don't know if I'd put them ahead of those other three teams right now with some of those questions that we do have. You know, but again, like you said, there are so many questions in the SEC this season because you got so many new head coaches. We just have not seen this in this league in a long time in terms of the turnover of number of coaches. Now, yeah, Mike White goes from Florida to Georgia, a very rare thing we see there, but you've got so many other guys coming in. Matt McMahon at LSU, Chris Jans at Mississippi State, Dennis Gates at Missouri, Todd Golden at Florida, Maude Paris at South Carolina. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what these teams are able to do and kind of where that cutoff point is in the SEC. I think I'm kind of with you where, I don't know, I feel like the top half, you kind of know what to expect, but in all honesty, that bottom half or maybe 8 and beyond, there's just a lot of unknowns because you got a lot of new coaches and, as always, a lot of new players in the era of the transfers.
Yep, and I feel like one of the biggest unknowns of this conference as well is also going to be a team that I've got towards my bottom tier, but that'd be South Carolina, because before G.G. Jackson committed to South Carolina, I personally had them right there towards the bottom of this conference. But with G.G. Jackson reclassifying a few months ago, he was the number one prospect in 2023, a guy that is just completely built. He's got a body to be able to play college basketball just right now. 6'9", not a guy that's going to stretch a floor necessarily too much and pop a bunch of threes, but certainly someone that can make an impact right away. I'm just fascinated by the scene, because if you take a look at the track record of Paris Lamont, it took him a few years to get things online for Chattanooga. He's not a quick fix, 1 year, boom, you're going to be making the NCAA tournament sort of guy. We saw that on display while he was coaching out there in the SOCOM. But with South Carolina, I'm just very intrigued by this team because I do fear that if you do have it become a case in which G.G. Jackson has to become Mr. Do-It-All for this team, it could wind up being just a little bit of a bad situation in general for him.
Yeah, and I think I'm with you on that, Greg. I mean, I would have had South Carolina probably in the bottom two or maybe three. I mean, at best, you know, again, before you kind of bring him in. And I think that's kind of one of those situations where you look at it from that standpoint, and now you look at the entire roster. I think it's still clearly going to be one that's a roster that's pretty much in progress. And I would be surprised probably, you know, even having someone like that, I'd probably still be surprised if they were to finish, you know, let's say in that anywhere near that top half. I just think that there are too many other teams that are ahead of them from a roster standpoint. I think you just look at it overall. It is a situation with South Carolina where I don't know what the expectations are at this moment, Greg, because we've talked about it before. Greg Martin gets them to a Final Four several seasons ago and just was never able to kind of keep that positive momentum going. Now you're kind of doing a reset here. And I think it's one of those where the roster is going to take some time to build up. But when you bring in a player like that, what does that do? You know, that always puts you in a situation where if you can attract a player like that, other players see that. And I think they're going to be able to, just off of this alone, be able to kind of build that in recruiting and obviously need to win on the floor. But South Carolina is one of those mystery teams to me because I don't really know where they finished. Like I said, I'd be surprised if they're an NCAA tournament team or anything like that. But they've got some upside. It's just, it's such a difference now, I think, transitioning from the Frank Martin era to Lamont Paris era. And there's just a lot of things we still don't know about them.
We could take one or two things out of that answer as well, because I hear the dog barking in the background.
He is.
Does that mean that
we're excited about the Gamecocks, Greg? I mean,
he's either excited about them and we're going to have the dogs barking, or he's really, really upset as to what the heck are they doing? This is a roster of misfit pieces as well. We don't know which one. The dog is trying to communicate to us, but we don't know if he's very, very bullish or very, very bearish. We shall see. And as we know, the puppy dog knows all. As you're ready to be on the podcast, we do have Blake Lovely. He does a great job over there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook. And then on top of that, we were talking about a big man in G.G. Jackson. We did see this happen a few days ago as well. And I think that is really the biggest thing that we've seen in terms of the last few weeks of college basketball. And that is that Fardaz Amek, who is the big man that is transferring over to Texas Tech after a Utah Valley, just lit things ablaze. He was able to average right around 18 points, 13 boards, shot over 40% from three-point range. He is going to be out for many months with a broken foot. We are unclear as to if he's going to be returning more for conference play, if it might be a little bit further down the line, maybe a little bit earlier, but no question this is a blow for Texas Tech. And I'm very curious where they go from here, whether they play a little bit more small ball. They feature Kevin O'Banner, really came on towards the end of the season, turning over a new leaf after being at a very offense-oriented Oral Roberts team and going to a Texas Tech team that, let's call it what it is, they are not a team as looking to get into 85-plus point shootouts like Oral Roberts, and did a good job of that. But I think that the entire makeup of Texas Tech, very fascinating coming into the season with this injury.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I think O'Banner, you talk about kind of what his capabilities are offensively, and I think that just makes it more of a focus now. When you look at it from that standpoint, we know how it is, right? You go into every season, like everybody's getting ready to start practice. They haven't started practice already. And you kind of had a good idea of what you want your rotation to look like and how you want your offense and defense to flow. And then you have an injury like this to a key player. And it opens up, you know, a lot of possibilities because you're going to have some guys to step up. Like we said, you know, I think a lot of things are still going to throw through O'Banner, but you said it best, Greg, like this is not a team anyways that's going to be trying to play in these 90 to 88 type games. They're still going to use their defense to really be in a position to win a lot of games. And I think we know that just from Mark Adams and the way he's going to kind of run his team. And I think, you know, we've seen it have success already with him as the head coach. So it's going to be kind of fascinating, I think, to see, you know, what they're able to do moving forward, because it is a big size element. And you talk about a guy that's 6'11", who's had a lot of success. I mean, we talked about him before, Greg. I can remember, you know, back when, you know, I guess probably he was an underclassman still, but, you know, talking about him when he was at Utah Valley and just the potential there. And I mean, someone that was, you know, a double-double machine. That element defensively, they're still going to be a strong defensive team, but that certainly takes away some things. And again, someone who could proved that he could score as well and helped him in the rebounding department. So it's significant. There's no way around it. But again, I think they've got a pretty versatile roster when you look at it up and down. And I think they're going to be one that still should be fine. It's just a matter of seeing, you know, can he return early in Big 12 play, that's going to be the biggest thing for them right now.
You're talking about versatility with Fardaz Amick, but there's nobody more versatile than you, Blake. You do an amazing job taking a look at the game of college basketball. I know that you've been doing some football coverage as well, because I know over there at Southeastern 14, shock, shock, surprise, surprise, there are people out there in the southeastern part of the country that like football. Who told me that? I don't know, but apparently there are people out there that do like football in the southeast part of the country, and you do a great job of serving that audience. And on top of that, I know that you're doing an amazing job getting set for the upcoming season. You do an amazing job year in and year out over there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook, and the list goes on and on of your great work. So let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and everything that you've got going on in general.
Yeah, I always appreciate it, Greg. Like you said, all the SEC stuff you can check out over at the Southeastern 14. That's 14.com. Yeah, lots of SEC basketball stuff. We're actually talking to you here. We started our season previews today for teams. We started with Arkansas, and so very kind of fascinating to look at the Hogs and the must-bus there heading into the new season. So, yeah, a lot of coverage coming up for the new college basketball season. You can find it there. Everything else, you can follow me on Twitter at TheBlakeBubble.
And Blake does an amazing job taking a look at the game of college basketball all 12 months out of the year. He's been very much hard at work getting those previews done for Blue Ribbon Yearbook. He takes a few conferences for them and has joined me on quite a few of my conference preview podcasts as well, sharing that insight. And every single time he joins this podcast, always does a great job taking a look at all the latest happenings in college basketball. And then once we get in season, I know he's going to be doing a great job of breaking down a lot of these games as well. A big thanks to Blake for joining me here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. And if you do look for hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And if you got a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GNRS41. Keep in mind, letters EM, name me does not matter. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Friendly reminder that we've got conference previews still on the way. Recorded an interview with our good friend John Fanta for the Big East, so hopefully we'll have that up within the next 72 hours. As right now, the only conferences I've got left to preview on this podcast for the upcoming season, the Power 6, plus the American and the Atlantic 10. That is going to be done within the next few weeks. And then along the way, we're going to be looking at the news and notes of college basketball that we get, and then in-season picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So appreciate you guys tuning in today, and I will chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.